I will start with one quick one then. Reiko, you are describing near the end of your presentation the mainstreaming of contemporary art, and you describe the museum and gallery infrastructure as, in a sense, a quasi-Western infrastructure, say. I wonder if you consider the rental galleries that you mentioned, which in a sense are a catchment or an incubation site in some cases for positions that would try to stand outside of that, whether you characterize them as somehow distinct from a Western art historical architecture.
Yeah, that's exactly so. The incubator is another word we can use for the NICAR. And then it's a funny story. The many Japanese artists come to New York, especially like the 90s or, then. And then they brought their resume, right? So they have every year gallery exhibition, solo exhibition, year after year after year. And then American gallerists and the artwork people said, oh my God, you are so exposed. No, it's rental gallery. So you can have it every year if you have money. If you have $3,000, actually you can mount a 1 week solo exhibition. So it's a distinctly, there are actually some rental galleries in New York too, so we can see where they are showing, and then we kind of laughed, and then we don't say it out loud, but that's a different system, which in Japan's case goes back to the 1930s, and then it's not they were outside the institutional system. That was also the necessity, because there was no institution. And so that served as a, that's why in a way I call them alternative space, not necessarily wilderness, because most of them are in Tokyo, and then if it's in the regions, it's in the regional centers. But you are right, incubator. And then I like the idea of alternative spaces, because there are some owners, very, very ambitious, very supportive. So they are more, actually rental galleries in the 60s is actually a very good dissertation topic, if anybody. And also, I characterize Monoha as the, I call them museum art, actually, because their mainstream status and then their infiltration in the museum world is the very, clever. However, they also used rental galleries. When they wanted to do a real kind of big scale room size installation, and then year after year, they go to, the rental garage, and there are a few galleries specialized, very close with Monoha artists too. So, they are being in mainstream doesn't mean they don't use the rental galleries. Rental galleries stayed throughout 70s, very important place.
Thanks. Hyunjin.
Thank you, Reiko. It was very articulated, so it somehow, it reminds, I'm not expert of Japanese art, but I had some years to research about when I was working for Gwangjuba in 2008. So, and I found that Japan has quite well-developed local regional scene. Mm-hmm. Actually, Nagoya has a good painting scenes. And I just simply wonder how you differentiate this kind of well-developed regional scene. It's actually, in 1670, I think not only Japan, but also South Korea, but also some other Asian country, is somehow a regional scene was quite active rather than the centralized Seoul or Tokyo scene. Mm-hmm. So, and also it's kind of continuated still by the old kind of as often it bounded together with the local art mm-hmm. school. Mm-hmm. So how you could distinguish or differentiate this kind of wilderness mm-hmm. as a sort of resonating contemporary art, but as those kind of from those regional local art, mm-hmm. it also quite resonated as a contemporary art.
Yes, yeah. That's correct. The book focuses on the kind of extreme end of the wilderness spectrum of the mainstream and wilderness, and then there are all sorts of other examples. The 60s was described as the time of regional avant-garde. Because each city, like Nagoya is one, Fukuoka, Kyushu, and then Nagoya was zero dimension, and then there are other artists, coming from Nagoya too. And then, the Japanese map is full of those regional centers thriving. The how strong or how strong or stable or secure is other questions. Right now, they may make a splash and then they just disappear from the central attention or something like that. So I put the art journal and the art journalism, art magazines and the art journalism as the fifth or sixth factor of the mainstreaming, and they are actually very good at keeping eye on regional activities. The regional activities was shored up after 1970, because what I didn't get into today is beginning in 1970, the boom for museum building for the prefecture level started. 1970 in Wakayama Prefecture and Hyogo Prefecture, we had the Prefectural Museum of Modern Art, and then when those museums are built in local prefectural capital, basically, they had two missions. They have to cater to local salons, local dantai. So that's a very important constituent. And then they have to study, they want to study modern art, like a pre-war mainly. And then the first one set up at the prefectural level was actually Kanagawa, the Museum of Modern Art, Kanagawa, Kamakura and Hayama, which was actually created in 51, but I didn't include it because they were really focused on pre-war modernism and then extension of that. And then catering to the regional salons and then a study of modern art as a recent past, and then support of contemporary art. So the on the regional level, actually support was being instituted, bit by bit. So, I don't know how many museums we have in terms of public museum, almost every prefectures except for Osaka have prefectural museum, and then many major cities have their own museums, and then many of them love to do the contemporary art. It used to be, that's what they wanted to do, 70s, 80s. And then things changed in 90s, but that's a separate story, so I don't get into it. But you are correct, there are other regional areas that part of the, this spectrum. Thank you for your question, that's very good.
Thank you, Reiko. I always appreciate your insights into kind of a methodological question. So seems to me that the spectrum, which is kind of a spatialized concept of wilderness versus the mainstream, is very well historicized. Mm-hmm. So I think what you're arguing is the temporal dimension of this spectrum, which always shifts depending mm-hmm. on who actually holds the power of establishment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So maybe then how does the question of outside I guess it's the other side of the question of the regional within Japan. So I think you juxtaposed Gutai's International Sky Festival with Matsuzawa's male art project. Mm-hmm. But so it seems to me that in this juxtaposition, Gutai capitalizes mm-hmm. the outside of the spectrum, yeah. Right? So what happens to Matsuzawa's
project? Okay, let's start with Gutai, because as I said, Gutai is not, they are mainstream oriented. So Osaka is kind of wilderness from Tokyo, and they had difficult time gaining attention from Tokyo Art World or Tokyo critics, although somehow they were more successful gaining attention from Europe and America. Mainly America, Europe, not really New York. But so there's a very kind of unbalanced attention. But in Japan, certainly, they know they were in Osaka. They know they are not in the center. And then groups in Osaka or Kyoto area get the first exhibition in Tokyo as precedent. Kokugasa Kyokai, which is the group of Nihonga Japanese style painting artists, which established in the 1920s. And then they were actually students, they are students artists. But, they had actually first press conference in Tokyo and then said they are going to have a show. And then, of course, they also did the show in Kyoto. But so, this is the following the playbook of emerging Dantai, that what he did. So I actually don't think, Osaka was regional and sort of outside, but, his attention was always the center. And then the funny part is with that Sky Art Festival and the Gutai Pinakoteka, it became a minor center, as Min Tianpo would call. And then, Osaka became on the map of international art, as does the Tokyo with the Tokyo Biennale 1970. So the interesting thing is, depending on where you are looking at, they look different. Their positioning might shift, actually. So Gutai is a very interesting example. And the Matsuzawa kind of stayed outside. Yeah, that's why I had to do the study. And also his art is difficult to explain, so that's another reason, his scholarship on him was kind of delayed.
Any further questions?
Reiko-san, thank you very much for your interesting presentation. And a great example of Matsuzawa Yutaka-san. And I believe the making restrictions or finding restrictions are a very important idea of creating contemporary art. And for instance, reject the ownership of the art. Mm-hmm. And we can find this particular restriction in a Danish filmmakers, mm-hmm. and they started the dogma. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, and with the dogma, one of the restrictions is the same: reject the ownership of their film. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And how did Matsuzawa-san mm-hmm. represent his work? Mm-hmm. Did he leave his work somewhere without his name?
Or no, okay. Do you finish your question? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut into. He's basically his art is a piece of paper. And then I don't think he himself didn't think it as work of art, like a museum piece or something. And then and then he often at time weighs his work by the grams, 1 kilogram or something like that. I made 1 kilogram of art, and then something like that. So the immateriality and then the rejection of ownership is very much inside, in his blood. except that he had some association with the commercial gallery, like, you know, Atan Project is one of them. I'm sorry, what was your question? What I was supposed to answer? I forgot.
Yes, I was interested in his restriction, rules. And reject the ownership of art.
Was it
a conceptual sheet?
Okay. Yes. It's not restriction he imposed himself on, it's a proposal, actually. His proposal to the humankind or the art world. You know, it's more like conceptual maneuvering. So, like, you know, he doesn't deny. Actually, I don't think he denied ownership as such. Although he, you know, it's a misstatement. I retract. When he showed the first work that I didn't show today, but you know, after the revelation, he made a complete break of with the materiality. He actually did. Gonzalez Torres Gauchia. He printed the this size flyer, and then he piled up in the exhibition site, so if anybody can take it. So many people have it, and then number is the very important. He does mass mailing, you know, when he does the mail art, postcard art, and then in recent examples before he died, he's very willing to give you a work. I visited him, and then he started writing something on the section of paper. Hi, excuse me. You giving this to me? This is work of art, not? Okay, I will take it home. And then this happens all the time. So maybe 2 years ago at the time of Yokohama Triennale, I gave a lecture on Matsuzawa, and then a young woman artist came to me and here is my Matsuzawa collection. I corresponded with him and then this is what I have. That's what he does. He doesn't give a material value on what he does. It's not restriction as such. His restriction is don't believe matter, don't believe the eye, and don't believe senses. That's his restriction. That's his policy. And then also this type of ownership issue is Yves Klein did too, and then conceptual artists more or less did the similar things using the printed material. So,
thank you very much.
And with that, I'm afraid I'm going to have to wind things up. We've reached our time limit. For those of you who have questions for Reiko or for Mustafa, both of them will be around for tomorrow's sessions, which kick off at 2 p.m. So please join us and you can chase them down then. Those of you who are not about to pass out, the exhibitions are open apparently until 11 p.m. in case you want to catch some art before you go home. With that, I will thank you all for joining us and hopefully see you tomorrow.